Hi, this is Joe Scott, and we need to talk because America's got issues.
Gotta talk about what's right, knowing that the dark needs light. We don't really want to fight, but America's got issues.
Hi, folks. Thanks for joining us today. We have another extraordinary, ordinary man. I just happen to be married to this one. Hi, Ken. Welcome.
Good morning, Joe.
Hi. Today we're going to talk about some of our recent exploits a little bit. Last week I didn't do a show because I was in Daytona Beach at the beach with 15, 16 other street preachers and evangelists, and we were evangelizing all over the beach, talking to people about Jesus, folks. I haven't been to a beach that, a regular beach where, I could be on the boat out in the water or somewhere, but not on a beach. I am shocked.
Spring break.
Well, it's spring break too, but just shocked at the state of undress that these girls are in. Unbelievable. They walk around almost naked like it's nothing. I was like, oh my goodness, cover them up. You know, ladies, you need to think about how you dress. I ran into one young woman, beautiful, beautiful woman, and she was a Christian for a year. She said she had been a Christian a year, and she didn't like my sign. I asked her why, and because one side of my sign says you must be, it says Jesus doesn't accept you as you are, you must be born again. And the other side of my sign says, ask me why you deserve hell. And she said, well, you talk about hell, that terrifies my generation. I laughed. I said, your generation's not terrified of anything. You know, they see everything on the internet. They have no respect for themselves, obviously. And we were talking, and she started agreeing with me through everything I was saying. But she said, one of the street preachers was talking about modesty. And she said, that really bothered me. And she was in a cover-up. So she said, I'm modest, but on the beach, I'm going to do what I'm going to do. I said, why do you think that it bothered you? And she said, was it the Holy Spirit? I said, yes, it was the Holy Spirit. You're supposed to be modest. It doesn't matter if the whole world is walking around naked. God told us to be modest and not to stumble men. And just because everybody's doing it doesn't make it right for us. God doesn't change his mind when society decides to go completely against him. And so she ended up agreeing with me. I don't know if she'll change, but we had a great conversation for maybe 45 minutes. And that's how it went all day long. I met old people. My age, I'm saying old people, that are just so concerned about our country and the state of disrespect that they get from young people, the state of total disregard. It's like you don't even exist sometimes when you have gray hair. And so, and they're Christian, and their hearts are broken for our young people because they don't even know. One man drove up on a bike, and I went over to talk to him because anybody that drives comes up on the boardwalk in Daytona, you don't know if they're saved or not. And I went over to talk to him, and he said, this is so sad. My heart is so broken. These children, they don't know God. They don't even know the name of Jesus, some of them. And we had a long talk. And I asked him, do you go to church? He said, I can't find one. That was broke my heart. It's really hard to find a good church. Thank God, Ken, we found one.
Amen. Pastor yeah. Ben is awesome.
Yeah, we have an awesome pastor. So I was there for Friday night, Saturday, and I left on Sunday afternoon. I was exhausted. I was outside all day, every day and night, talking about Jesus. And it's so fulfilling. So many people, and my sign that said, ask me why you deserve hell, I'd point to it and say, ask me. So they'd come over and they'd say, okay, why do I deserve hell? And I'd say, because we all do. Jesus died so that we don't have to go, because we're all sinners. And I turn him the sign around and show him the other side. So it, that sign really did get a lot of conversation, good conversations going. And but there were some people, few, but some people that would come up from the beach and say, thank you. Thank you. They'd been there all day. They listened to the preaching all day. And they came up and said, we're Christians. Thank you. This is so needed. So that was encouraging. But that was not the majority. Believe me, it was just a few. And then Ken, a couple of weeks ago, maybe a month now?
Yes.
He went to Gasparilla. And he's going to explain what that is to people that are not in Florida. Here, everybody knows what Gasparilla is. But go ahead, Ken, explain what that is.
Basically, everybody knows the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, and Tampa is right on a bay area, and they have a celebration like New Orleans, but instead they call it Gasparilla, and they have a huge amount of floats. And from last year to this year, it almost doubled. It's getting more and more people coming from all over, and it's so crowded, and they have a train track area for a normal area right next to where on the other side is the one of the bay opening areas. They have the boats go by there looking like pirate boats and all different types. And then
they like big ship floats, like dressed up like
sort of, you know,
pirates.
They're like firing their cannons ships at each other, and it's, you know, looking.
Oh, so it's a big gala. It's a big deal.
Right.
Yeah.
But then they have a huge long line where on one side you have the street that's a long street. They have
How long would you say? A couple miles or more?
It'd probably be at least a couple miles, but they have to line up somewhere because it went on for 3 hours, the float.
The floats did?
Almost 3 hours.
And so there's people on both sides of the canal, just
basically
one?
Basically, just on one side, you got the train, and then you've got a walk area that's wide, and then you have a street, and then you have on the other side walk areas, and then you have condos and buildings all over the place looking over at that. But what happens
is... So what side were you on?
I'm in the street. We could
Which
walk,
street?
The one that is...
Near the condos or...
Right between the condos and the floats and the water.
Okay.
So the thing was, is at that point, the floats are coming by and you have all different types of people looking dressed up like pirates and, you know, parrots on their shoulder and stuff like this. But they're stuffed ones. But costumes, and they're very skimpy costumes for the women in many cases.
Is there a lot of drinking? That's like
yes,
at the
everybody's
beach.
Carrying alcohol. They want it's just a big drinking party in the open public, and the police don't do anything about it because the crowd's so monstrous. And basically, at that time, the floats that are coming by, they're about Neptune, Venus, and all the different gods, and so it's getting into witchcraft and sorcery, and people are into, you know, just so many lost young people there too. So the group that we're with, there was over 100 of us, guys and gals, that are street preachers out there, and a lot of them get in a group of 4 to 6 to 8 holding signs.
So you split up.
So we split up and go in different areas, and then most of them will have one person with a speaker speaking in it, trying to talk to the groups that are going by them, because people are always walking up and down the street. Others are sitting in galleries. They put up bleachers and so that they can see the floats go by, and then the floats are throwing beads and candy off to everybody all over the place.
It sounds like a Mardi Gras, but with a pirate influence.
Exactly. So, you know, people are just having a wild party is what it is. And there's a lot of, you can see homosexuals hugging and kissing each other along the way to try to look like they're having such a great time. And then
well,
you see,
that's for your benefit.
Right. And also the thing is, we take all different signs, and a lot of them are with gospel messages, which are very, very good. And then a lot of us take, you need Jesus, big signs. And then myself, I took a sign that shows abortion. Two pictures, and then it also says, what would you do when there was a Holocaust or when there was slavery, and now you have abortion? Are you going to ever speak out? Are you ever going to speak out against things that have gone evil in our society. Mm-hmm. And it gets a lot of people mad because of abortion. So it's right in there.
Because that's a right. That's
yes,
a right.
A but it brings, it's right. a fishing tool that they come talk to me too. You can only yeah. talk a little bit because the crowds are going by you. You're in the middle of it with the banners. But it's exciting to try to touch people's hearts and to wake people up. And some people say, oh, I go to church on Sunday tomorrow because this was on a Saturday. And so they're in the middle of it, looking and having fun with all the people that are drinking in skimpy clothes and everything like that. But, you know, it's just another great thing to be.
In the beginning, I bet it was meant to be like a family event, but it just gets taken over by debauchery.
Absolutely.
So something kind of miserable happened to you while you were there?
Oh, you mean I lost my phone?
You didn't lose it.
Somebody took it. Pickpockets are there. There was supposedly maybe 100 people lost their phones, just coincidentally. The crowds are brushing up against you a lot of times, so you can't tell what's going on. And I went to try, when it was over, to try to see about if I could see if lost and found it. They found a phone, or any phone. I went there, and they found a phone that was just like mine. I thought it was there. I said, thank you, Lord. And they opened the screen, and it's of a black family, you know, husband and wife and two kids. That's not mine. But the thing is, they said that there's a lot, and they have a lost and found. And basically, I called on Monday about the lost and found, emailed the information, and never showed up. But they said that they recovered a lot of phones, and a lot of people lose other things, like
cameras, all kinds of things are missing. You know, it's a great place for a pickpocket.
Yes, that's one thing I learned, a hard lesson, and then had to get a new phone because of that.
And lost all our information because
we
didn't...
Lost a lot of our information.
Didn't back it up. So would you say, like, there was 100 of you, you went up by bus?
Yes.
Two buses, or three?
A full bus that was chartered, and then people driving vans like Kevin has his van coming up with a lot of people in it, and then cars coming up and cars coming down.
They came from all over the country.
Yes, they came from Georgia. They came from East Florida. They came from even Western Florida.
They came for an event that we're not going to talk about today because Adam is going to talk about that next time he's on. But anyway, they use these events when all the street preachers or all the pro-lifers, they use these events to impact and engage our culture, right? That's what it was.
It's to be a witness for Jesus.
Yeah, and it's also, it encourages you when you are actually engaging the culture. Doesn't it encourage you to be with others who understand what you're going through and what it's like? It's a huge
It is encouraging,
refreshing.
And it also shows even younger people that come with us. When the crowds come and harass you and try to threaten you and everything else, and you stand there in faith, trusting in the Lord, you might get pushed and shoved and things thrown at you, but the thing is, it encourages other people. And Christians in the crowd watch how we handle it, so it gives them encouragement. And you hear
them.
And
then they see God working
through all
that.
And they come by and say, thank you for being here. Thank you for being here. So it has the good parts of it.
You mean the audience comes and says, thank you for being here. Yeah, it's very, it's important that the young people that are Christian who have a zeal for the Lord have mentors and have examples of how to act in public, because there's not that.
Well, what you don't see now is the children. The children aren't being brought now because it's getting too raunchy.
Well, at that place, but there's other places you can go where it's not as bad. We just went to a couple of weeks ago here, which was odd. Usually the gay pride parades are in June, but they did a gay pride parade here in our town.
In Cape Coral.
In just about 3 weeks ago?
Yes.
Yeah. And so we went to that, and it was interesting. They were chanting at one point. I don't know if you heard this, because you stayed in one place, and I got in the parade. That was really, really something they didn't like, but... they were chanting, love thy neighbor, and I was answering, don't lust after them. You're right, love them, don't lust after them. And there was not just me, but there was others with me that were at the back of the parade, and we were talking to a lot of the people. But it was also shocking to me to see how many Christians were enjoying the parade.
Yes,
that watching was sad. It and participating, huh?
And then they had a lot of children there.
That's
where they're recruiting, and they're in the parade, in the like the pets things, and you saw Home Depot there, and you saw the fire department, the police department in the parade, which is disgusting. But and politicians trying mm-hmm. to get their votes.
Yeah.
And then all the different
politician name was, what was her name? Vicky something?
Karen something too.
Oh, well, she was saying, I'm a Christian. And I was like, wrong parade for Christians.
Yeah.
You know, she should have been with us if she was really a Christian and wanted Christian votes. But
lots of stores promoting that they're on the side of the homosexuals.
Well, you make money, a lot right. of money involved in those things. It's always been very small in this town, like two blocks. This time it was like five blocks.
Yes.
But they put up bleachers and then they have music and that draws more people. It's so enticing. You know,
it's not like Denver where they had 200 and 250,000
yeah.
in the parades there. We did 14 of them
yeah.
in different
14 different years.
Yes.
Yeah, that was something.
Heavy
but
duty.
We actually, you know, we actually had some positive come
yes,
out of those parades. You know, one young woman went up to Ken. She was a woman at this point, but we'd been going for a lot of years. And so would she with her mother. Her two mothers,
yeah.
she have two mothers, yeah. And she went up to Ken, and what did she say to you?
She said, I've seen you here every year, and I see what you're doing, and I know you do love us. Because I'm teaching them that we love you, you need to repent, we're not out here because of hate. You need to wake up before it's too late, God's judgment's coming.
Yeah, but she said also, finished up with, but I'm not going to follow you.
Right.
But you know what? She may,
right.
because it's embedded in her, and the world's getting bad, really bad. She may come upon a spot where she remembers the gospel.
Well, we know of times that many times somebody at the end of the parade or somebody that's part and then comes up and says, I had a young girl that was 16 or 17 one time come up and said, you know, I know this is wrong. I'm already caught in it, and I would ask you to pray for me that I can get out of it.
A lot of people came up
so they,
like that.
Yes, so please pray for me. And I'd get a group around us, sometimes with a group, and then sometimes it's just one or two of us that are praying for an individual like that. So it's mm-hmm. planting seeds out there, and that's all we hope we can do.
Yeah, these parades are great big recruitment days, unfortunately, for children. And it looks like such a big party. It looks like so happy. The front is fun, but that's the front for all sin.
Yeah.
Sin is fun for a season, and then it swallows you up. And that's why we go, because for girls like the one that you talked to.
Yeah, well, there's been just many others.
Many, but that's one example.
Young guys, too.
Young guys, too. I had one. He came up to me. I had my sign. At the gay pride, we had to have them on big PVC poles because if they could reach them or cover them up, if they could reach them, they'd rip them. And if they could cover them up, it would be covered up. So mine was way up there. So everybody on the floats could see it. And all it said was, come to Jesus for peace and salvation. And there was one young man that came up to me, and he was like 2 inches from my nose, and he was yelling, stop the hate, stop the hate, stop the hate. And he was real flamboyant and yelling. And I said, does this look like I hate you? Read this sign. I want you to come to heaven with me. Is that hate? You know, we all have sin that we have to repent of, you know?
Okay. I met this time was
Let me just finish. Okay. He stayed with me the rest of the day. Anybody that was going to bother me, he'd say, no, she loves us. She really loves us.
A circumstance that's very interested like this time.
Yeah.
I had a guy that was probably in his mid to late 40s, and his name was Curtis. He had been drinking.
I saw him,
and
yeah.
he stayed with me, and I got a witness to him, and he still thought, his lifestyle is right. He doesn't believe in pedophilia and all that other stuff. But he said, at this point, people would come up and criticize me, and he'd stop them from criticizing me.
Mm-hmm.
And I was able to go for probably an hour with him on one end where none of you guys were. I was by myself, and he was there to help people to not get in my face so much. And so I got to talk to a lot more people.
That's
and
what
talk
happens.
To him, and it was outstanding. I pray for Curtis right now.
Yeah, we pray all the time that we will have divine appointments, right?
That's
that
right.
The ones that are really seeking have questions, that they would be drawn to us by the Holy Spirit, and we could talk to them. And it happens all the time. You know, that guy is not going to forget that conversation.
Right. Well, he's one that said, I say, what about all the kids that get molested? And he says, that's terrible. It should never happen. And he says, I was never molested, so I can't use that as an excuse. But I think that people still should have their right to choose what they want to do.
Well, they can if they don't want Jesus. They have. It's not a right. It's a sin. There's nothing in this country to stop them.
Right. But I mean, that's why I got to preach. And also my sign says, wake up. God's judgment's coming on one side. And the other one says, wake up. And I believe that the question of 9/11, that could be next time, it might be a big city in the United States.
So that's what three things that we've done recently. We've been out at the abortion mills. And we've been, this is what Christian life should be. We need to be engaging the culture. You don't have to be on the streets, but engage your friends, your coworkers.
We go to different churches, ones that are bad, to try to wake them up, expose them. And then we try to go to the good ones to try to get their pastors or some of the people in the church to come out and join us at the abortion clinics. And it's just, if one or two people from every church came out, it'd be so many people at the abortion clinics, they'd shut them down.
Well, abortion will end the day the church says so, but right now the church is not interested. The brick and mortar churches, you know, the church, I see the church as the people.
Homeschoolers are starting to be more the ones to join us.
Yeah, homeschoolers.
And unfortunately, the Catholics are out there trying to do penance, and they're many nice people, but we spend a lot of time witnessing to them. Besides,
because they don't have to work to get to heaven, they all they have to do is believe in God. They don't need Mary. They don't need all the rest.
Right. So we try to let them know, and instead of being tricked by the priests and the bishops and the Pope, that is now, we heard the story now when we had COVID and everything, that the homosexual and drag queens in Italy went to the Pope and said, we're being so persecuted, how terrible. And now since then, on one Saturday a month, he has all the gay drag queens come to have lunch
with
him. Well,
not just drag queens, just gays come and have lunch with him once a month. And that's, you know, he's not a Christian.
He's
so what do you expect?
Enabling and also not helping those people find salvation. He's helping them their lifestyle and making it look like that's acceptable, which is terrible.
Yeah, it's dangerous for them. But we also want to talk about one other thing, one of your favorite subjects. And folks, I might have a little trouble reining him in because he can't shut up on this subject. But we want to talk about Israel a little bit and what's going on there.
Well, a lot. And Joe's done a bunch of shows about all these Christians that are replacement theology, which is horrible.
Mm-hmm.
But people need to look at Romans 10 and 11 specifically, because Romans is all about, first off, if you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that God raised Jesus from the dead, you are saved. That's Romans chapter 10, 9. And then
9, 10, 11, 12, 13. Yeah.
And 13 is if you confess.
Whoever calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved sincerely. Now, you can't just say, I believe in God. There's a lot of people that will say, I believe in God, and they think that's it. It's not. The devil believes in God, and he trembles. It's a life decision where you give your life to him. It's a free gift, but it costs you your life, and you wouldn't. And you will never be happier.
And the thing is, this is so important because this is now coming to the point of chapter 11 where it's talking about the Jews, that he cut them off and their blindness so that he could graft us in that are the Gentiles, and that now we are to make the Jews jealous.
And why is that? It's because we don't have the law. We are saved under grace without the law. So to them, that's like an anathema.
Right. But the thing is, they haven't seen Jesus as the Lord yet. And now what's getting ready to happen, like what Joe's been talking about, the rapture, we're part of the body of Christ. Jews that have come to now accept Jesus Christ as Lord, and there are quite a few. It's not like it's the majority in any way, but there are born again Jewish people, and those will be with the rapture. But the thing is, it's talking about this time period where the Jews are going to be set for the 7 years of tribulation, and they're going to want to go back to going to the red heifer and slaughter the red heifer so they can cover up all their sins, and it temporarily covers it up.
Which is really not a good thing, because their sins don't need to be covered anymore if they just recognize their Savior, their Messiah.
All these symbols that are there is all about where Jesus is the Lamb of God that came and was the sacrificial Lamb that takes away all our sins, past, present, and future. And the Jews haven't come to that knowledge yet. That just doesn't ring in their bell. They want to be prideful and have the temple and have animal sacrifices and believe in Moses and their law, where Jesus is the one that now has fulfilled the law, and we want to witness to the Jews. And we went to Israel last May.
Yeah, we talked about that on
the
air.
And it was fabulous to witness to the Jews, to let them know that there was this that was going to happen, because we knew that the homosexuals that are now getting a foothold, they're nothing compared to what it is here. They're not walking around half naked. They're not showing, flipping off.
That was in Jerusalem. We haven't been in Tel Aviv.
Well, Jerusalem now, it's just the first time they've had a parade there. They had one in a stadium where they were all protected. But in this case, they had 2,000 police officers there to protect them so that no one interfered with their parade. And this gave them like credence that it was okay. But what's going on there right now is the Supreme Court is liberalized in Israel. And what you have is now the conservative Jews that are fighting what happened, even when the government didn't want to give Gaza to the Hamas or all the Jews, I mean all the Muslims, the Supreme Court said you have to give it to them. So the government didn't have authority. And that has backfired now because of what happened with Hamas.
October 7th.
Yes. And right now, now our government with Biden and the UN is trying to push down their throats. They have to sign a peace treaty. That peace treaty is never going to be peace.
It's a two-state solution.
And they
want
to push the Palestinian state. And they cannot do that.
You know what drives me nuts, Ken, is Hamas keeps telling them, we are not going to stop until every Jew is dead. That's what they say.
Over and over
again. But the media doesn't really push that.
From the river to the sea.
They push the fact that Netanyahu won't stop this war and how terrible it is. It's the most humanitarian war I've ever seen. They drop leaflets. They tell the people to get out before they go in after Hamas. They drive them out.
Because there's tunnels everywhere.
They transport them out. Drive them out sounds wrong, but transport them to a new city where they can be. They provide food for them. Hamas shoots them when their own people.
They're shooting their own people to
when they
keep
go to
control
get the food.
Of the food.
Yeah.
And then it's like you have to pay high prices for the food because Hamas is selling the food to the people. It's nothing but a government.
And they don't
within.
Have any money because they're in war. So it's been crazy there. Crazy.
Well, we follow.
But this is what Satan wants, isn't it?
Yeah. Well, the only thing is God's going to use this to wake up the Jews, not to say, we're not going to go back to the gas chambers. We're not going to follow through with what you want us to do because you're going to just try.
Finally, they're starting to be their own government and not be influenced so much by the rest of the world.
But this fulfills prophecy.
It
things
does.
That are in Zechariah chapter 12, 13, and 14. It fulfills prophecy in Daniel. The whole book of Daniel is about this coming end days that we're living in, and so many others that are the book of Amos.
But you know, the church is so uneducated on any of it because the churches nowadays don't teach prophecy, for one. They don't really teach the Old Testament a lot. Don't teach the Old Testament unless they're Messianic Jews. And so the Christians are actually illiterate in this, and it's such a foreign idea to
them. The majority of Christians, not all.
No.
There's many that we follow that, and Amir Tazadi,
Safadi,
that is in Israel, gives us an update every day of all the things that are going on there. We follow Israeli news every day telling about what's going on there. And it shows that they are, there's a battle going on, and they're winning the battle in Gaza. It's out of 24 battalions that they had, it's down to four. There's only four battalions left.
Of Hamas.
Yeah, of Hamas. And Rafah is where the main part of it is right now.
Rafah is a town at the southern end of Gaza.
And there's a hospital there. The hospital's one of the biggest, and that's where the headquarters of what was going on. And
the Hamas headquarters.
Hamas headquarters in this hospital. And they've gone in there, and they've captured maybe 300 of Hamas people.
They dress like doctors. They dress like nurses. They dress like patients. You know, this war is not easy because they don't have a uniform. They dress like civilians to make it impossible.
They have uniforms, but not when they're hiding and fighting in regular clothes.
Right.
They have killed the number three men of all the people in for Hamas they caught in the hospital and was killed. But they have caught so many others. They're not trying to kill
them. They're getting a lot of intelligence.
And they're getting lots of information to find out. And they've found out at many different places what was there. There was $1 million in cash, some in dollars, some in shekels, some in Jordanian dinar.
More than
dinar.
That. They've found millions and millions in the tunnels and in the hospital.
So the thing is, they're striking a blow against all the weapons, and they're finding lots of intelligence of who's who, and knowing these people now, and they're telling them which tunnels to go to, and it's a chance to find some of the hostages now.
But at the same time, the hostages are a big thing, and they need to be found. But at the same time, Russia is moving equipment and tanks closer and closer to the border of
Israel.
They're
in Syria now, and some of them are in Damascus. And Damascus right now with all in Turkey, and this is all prophesied in Ezekiel 38 and 39.
Right.
And Damascus will be annihilated and never there again. This is a prophecy.
That's what the Bible says.
Yes. 2,500 years ago, this was told that it's going to happen. The oldest city in the world, Damascus City, Syria. And at this point, all the military that comes from Iran comes into Damascus, or into Syria of the other, a larger city that's away from there. But at this point, it's causing, Israel is going in and attacking the airport sometimes 2-3 times a week because of all the weapons that are coming in. And then also it's going into Lebanon and Hezbollah. But right now, something that's interesting, we talk about the giant stones in Baalbek.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, don't go into, that's another subject.
Well, they hit a spot there. There's two different times, last week and the week before, Lebanon, the Hezbollah shot 100 rockets in to Israel to stop them, say, stop with going into Gaza. So they've been shooting lots more rockets in from...
thank God for the Iron Dome. And what's that, a new one now?
There's David Sling.
Not David Sling.
But there's another one that's a laser beam.
Yeah.
I can't remember the name right now. Mm-hmm. But it's being able to shoot down planes and rockets that Israel's being blessed to protect itself. You don't see the other jets coming in from anyone else, and that includes Russia has lots of jets over there in Syria already. And you don't see any of them coming in to the airspace.
You're not hearing anything on the news, our news, except for propaganda from the White House. Propaganda. You're not seeing what's really going on. But, you know, folks, what's happening on Earth has a lot to do with what's happening in the heavenlies.
The angels.
If Satan can get rid of the Jews, God is a liar.
That's not going to happen because we know God is not a liar.
Right. It's not going to happen, but Satan's very proud. And he thinks he can do it, and he's going to try and wipe out. The allotted land for the Jews was given to them by God. The allotment was given to them by God.
And that's from the Euphrates River that's in Iraq, and that's to the Nile River in Egypt. So when this all gets...
And to the Red Sea.
The Red Sea, the Mediterranean Sea. But the thing is, at this point, all that's going to be Israel. They're going to conquer this in the end times. And what has to happen before the Antichrist comes, Israel has to get so powerful, and they'll probably use nukes when they don't have enough weapons.
Well, that's not prophesied. That's just your
They have 80 nukes. When they run out and the government of the United States does not give them any more weapons to defend themselves, they have no alternative. And that's where I believe Damascus will be, where no people will be able to live afterwards because of the radiation.
Well, that's what it says in the Bible. But the timing on that, all of that is all up for grabs because we don't know.
Well, we do know that this is a time period of Ezekiel 38, 39,
that.
Because you see Russia coming and you see Turkey coming, and you're going to see... Sudan and Libya and the other Muslim nations. You have Yemen, the ring of fire that's all around Israel, that wants to exterminate Israel, that's all around them with weapons of all sorts and missiles, and now drones are becoming impacting.
And why? Why Israel? This little plot of land in the middle. Because, why Israel?
Because God in the end says his headquarters will be in Jerusalem for the thousand-year reign.
Amen.
And they will be teaching the world all that God's going to take back all the nations, one nation against all the world, and God is going to use the Jews.
And he's going to use the Jews to do it. And so we are living in very, very exciting times, folks.
Very.
Very exciting times. But to ignore it is not a good thing, because we need to be praying for Israel.
Always.
Always praying for Israel. We need to be praying for the safety of the troops. We need to be praying for the safety of the civilians. We need to be praying for the safety of the Muslims who are caught in wake up and know Jesus, but they are. They are
Some
waking
are.
Up. They're
yes.
having dreams and
in
visions.
Iran, and there's a bunch of now that have come to know Jesus Christ, and they're fighting the mullahs and all the other imams.
They have to stay alive in So we have brothers and sisters in some of the most dangerous
in China,
parts of the world.
There's so many Christians in China. It's unbelievable. There's probably more than all in the United States or most of the world now. And it's with China getting to be such a dictator, it's persecuting the Christians heavy duty in China. And some of the churches there, they're most famous because they have the most Christians in jail. So they're the most famous Christian churches.
Or you go to the Christian churches and you'll see them. In Africa, leg missing, an arm missing, because these crazy Muslims have chopped them up when they catch them in
terrible.
Church. So we're in trouble all over the world, Christians, and it's because we are not strong. They go back to church after their arms.
And right now we're in where it has Ramadan going on, and they're supposed to be so much stronger every year in Jerusalem, at the Wailing Wall and at the temple there. They have riots of all sorts.
Not this year. It's
not
been
this
quiet.
Year. They've given them all access, and they know Israel will do something if they rebel.
Right. I know when we were in Israel, and it was not even Ramadan, it was Shabbat, and our bus driver we were with a tour, and it was just tourist season, and everybody was there. So our bus driver could not park in Jerusalem, remember that?
Yeah.
And it was Shabbat. He had to go park more towards the Muslim section. They smashed out the windows in the bus.
Really?
And they were, it was
bold.
Bold, very bold. And they don't let them get away with it, though. They caught those people that did it. They caught the people that did it, and we had an amazing bus driver. He was brave and
chasing him down. And
well, he was really a brave man, a tough guy that knew the ropes. And so they were going to give us a new bus driver for our tour, and we all protested, and we got our bus driver back because we
right.
didn't want anybody else. So that was a good thing in Jerusalem. But the reason for talking about Israel, folks, is don't ignore what's going on in the world. Don't ignore. God loves his people. He cut them off for a short time, but he's going to graft them back in. And they're going to rule and reign with Jesus. So are we.
In Amos chapter 9, it's the last chapter of Amos, and it shows God bringing judgment on the Jews, and then they repent, and then God bringing judgment on the Jews, and they repent. But in the last half of chapter 9, God says he's going to bring the Jews back into the land, and they will never leave the land again.
And that's their
God's promise to them.
This is the first time they've been back in 2,000 years, and they will
be there now, the time for when Jesus arrives. The Antichrist is going to come first, promising Israel, finally, peace, peace, peace,
and
it's
a
lie again, and they're going to sign that treaty, and when they sign that treaty, my wife will disagree with me, but I think that's the time we get raptured out, and the man of perdition and sin is now revealed to the world.
I'm disagreeing because I'm going tomorrow. Jesus comes.
She thinks it could be even sooner than that. But
I think
we're here to be the salt and the light.
Yes, we are, but we don't know when all of that's going to go down.
But we know the 7 years of tribulation's coming.
Yes.
And it's going to come when the Antichrist comes to sign, don't do any more of this evil blasting with your nuclear weapons, in my opinion, because they're going to shock the world. And it's going to have other people going against each other. And God says there will be one third of the earth destroyed with a flash, and that could be the time period that happens.
And we don't know. We don't know exactly how anything's going to happen. But we do know this. God has opened the door for all people, Muslims, Jews, Christians, through grace, faith, for by grace through faith that we saved.
Amen.
And he's opened the door for all people to let all of us in. And it's our duty. When we know it's so close, we need to be out there. We need to be reaching out to people. We need to make the gospel known loud and clear across our own country. We have plenty of guys that are going to other countries, but our country needs missionaries. Our country needs missionaries on the streets and in the highways and the byways, as people say. Folks, I'm so glad to have my husband on the show with me today.
Thank you, dear.
He has lots to say about the Middle East, and he has lots of experience on the streets for years and years and years now. But young people, please listen. If you have a zeal for the Lord, look for us. Go to Team Jesus Preachers on YouTube. Look, learn, and get out there. We need you because we are at the end of our lives. You're just starting. You're where the next generation comes in, takes over, and wins, like Joshua did after Moses died. We need you. We need you to love the Lord with all your heart, all your soul, and all your mind, and come and fight with us for Christ. It's not a fist fight. It's a spiritual battle, and we need you for it. So thank you for listening, folks. This is America's Got Issues, signing off.
America!